The Coram Deo Church Community is a church rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and committed to living on mission in the city of Omaha. For more information, visit cdomaha.com.
Doug will be preaching out of Luke 12. Here's the passage, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentiful, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of those. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. As Dusty said, my name is Doug, one of the deacons for our church. Have you ever seen those movies that they start out with this really intense scene where things have like gone horribly wrong, or they're about to go horribly wrong, and the camera's focusing in on someone's face, and they have this look of anguish or anger or incredible fear, and you're wondering, what's going wrong? And I mean, it's a perfect cliffhanger that draws you in. You're wondering, did it start out that way? Are things going to get better? And then all of a sudden, the movie, now that it has hooked you, flashes back to the beginning and begins to unfold how everything went down, and then eventually gets to how things fold out at the end. Well, we're going to do that this morning, and we're going to be talking about stewardship, reforming our stewardship, which refers to our money and our possessions and how we handle them. So just really quick, on the count of three, we're going to do a huge cheer because we're talking about money in church. And furthermore, we're talking about money in church on Mother's Day, like perfect combination. I know you're all so excited. Truthfully, I mean, the Bible has a ton to say about money and possessions and how we handle those. There's more than 2,350 Bible verses on money. God cares about this. This morning, we're just going to look at one passage, Luke chapter 12, that I think gets to the heart of what God wants to do when it comes to reforming our stewardship. Now, as we do this, I promise we're going to get through all four areas that we're tracking through in this Reformation sermon series. They are formed. How were we originally created in this aspect of our lives? And then deformed? How have things gone wrong? And then transformed. How are we changed, converted whenever we come to Christ? And finally, reformed. How do we actually grow in our experience of that transformation reality? But we're going to do it kind of like the movies, where we're going to start with deformed, how have things gone horribly wrong, then backtrack and pick up formed, skip ahead to transformation and reformation. All right? So let's jump into the text that Justy just read for us, Luke chapter 12, and see what Jesus' words are, what Jesus' thoughts are when it comes to reforming our stewardship. We jump into the scene in verse 13 with this guy interrupting Jesus, asking Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. This guy's question is really revealing. First of all, he's just a tattletale. I mean, how many people want to be brother to this guy? Jesus is teaching this huge crowd, and your brother raises his hand and says, he won't share his toys with me, right? But furthermore, it's revealing because of what Jesus said right before this. The verses right before this, Jesus is talking about the final judgment of God at the end of time. He's talking about Christians being persecuted, being dragged before government officials. And then this guy raises his hand to complain about his brother not sharing. He didn't have time to hear all these words of Jesus. He's got money on his mind. And I think that we are far too often like this guy. We are bombarded with countless advertisements and appeals to spend our money. The average American sees 500 advertisements each day. Furthermore, worldwide, the ad industry is spending $500 billion each year to get you to spend more of your money on whatever they're pitching to you at that time. And I think it's working because this year, in the United States, in shopping malls alone, you remember those old dinosaurs where they sell stuff? In shopping malls alone, we're going to spend more than $1.05 trillion. $8.2 billion of those dollars are going to come from all of the shopping malls in the state of Nebraska, which are all the shopping malls in Omaha. Right? That's just shopping malls, not to mention countless online stores and retail outlets and tech stores and grocery stores. I mean, we too. Who's got time to listen to the words of Jesus when we've got all these advertisements to watch and all this money that we need to spend? We might as well be the guy in the crowd raising our hand saying, Jesus, like, I'm not exactly for sure what you're talking about, but could I get a raise? Could I get you to throw some cash my way? I really think I could use it. And so Jesus responds to this guy, and he's a little irked. He's a little upset. And so he tells a story to help this guy understand that he actually has a much deeper problem. And I think that this guy's deeper problem is also our deeper problem. The story goes something like this. There's a rich man whose field produces a lot, and so he doesn't know what to do with all this crop, with all this stuff that he has produced. So he comes up with a really simple solution. I need to tear down my little barns, and I need to build bigger barns, right? It makes sense. He probably worked hard for this crop, probably worked hard for his stuff, so why not keep it? Why not store it? And he's saying to his soul this whole time, soul, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And then God steps into the story and he says, you fool, I decide when you live and when you die. And tonight you die. Now what's going to happen to your stuff? Now what's going to happen to your stuff? Now, I'm just going to be honest. If this guy has a serious problem, then it is a really, really dangerous problem for me as well. Because I read this story, and to be honest, other than that whole God killing him part, I'm like, what's the problem? I'm like, he worked hard, got some money, bought a self-storage unit or two or three, however many, and then he stored his stuff. Like, good job. But it's important how Jesus interprets the story, not how I interpret the story, not how you read the story as you read through the scriptures. It's important how Jesus interprets the story. So look what Jesus says right before and right after. In verse 15, Jesus says Be on your guard. Look out. Watch out. Fight against all forms of covetousness, because your life doesn't consist in the abundance of your possessions. And then at the end of the story in verse 21, Jesus says, this man was not rich towards God. In other words, what has gone horribly wrong for this man and what has gone horribly wrong for us, how we have become deformed when it comes to our stewardship, is that we begin to believe that our lives consist in our stuff. We begin to believe that our lives consist in our stuff. We think that our stuff gives our lives meaning and value. We think the level of our salary or the level of our hourly wage determines the level of our significance in life. We think the amount of money that we have in our bank account determines the amount of importance or the amount of value that we have as human beings. And then when we start thinking that way, and we've all thought this way, right? When we start thinking that way, we begin to store up more stuff, save up more stuff, because that's the stuff that gives us meaning. That's the stuff that gives us value. And all the while, we keep saying to our souls, soul, relax, eat, drink, get happy about all this wonderful stuff that you have. But our souls won't have it, will they? Our souls aren't going to be satisfied with all this silly stuff that we try to store up. Our souls are dwindling all the while our stuff is accumulating. We're not rich. Not towards God. This is deformed. But we take it a step further than this guy in the story here. We compound the problem. This guy, he actually built his bigger barns using his own cash. We build our bigger barns. We get our bigger houses. We get our newer cars. We get our flatter screen TVs. We get our iPad 16 or 17 or whatever it is. We get that on someone else's dime. We use Visa's money to build our bigger barns. We use MasterCard's money to build our bigger barns. And oh, yes, I know we're going to pay them back once our souls have had enough to eat, drink, be merry, and relax. But the problem is we never get to that enough. We never reach that level of enough. We're fools. We are fools. And Jesus is saying that's deformed. And you're doing this because you think your life consists in your stuff. We've all done this. I've done this many times. I remember my first job or quasi-job, whatever you'd call it. It was mowing yards during the summer for my grandma and all of her neighbors who were nice enough to pay the little kid who mowed yards. And I remember thinking, if I could just get one more yard to mow, then I'd have enough money to go buy my favorite CD or cassette tape, whatever it was back then. And then a little while later, I have this job working for a moving company making $7 an hour. And then I remember thinking with that job, if I could just put in some extra hours, then I'd have enough money to go buy more books that I want to read. Yes, I was a nerd. And I still am a nerd, and I like it. And I thought, I could get more books to read. And then a few years later, I land my first full-time salary position. And I'm making $20,000 a year. I thought I was the richest man in the world with that first paycheck. But then just a few months later, I'm thinking, if I could just make a little more money, I could eat out more. I could get a nicer house or a nicer apartment to rent. And it just kept going and going. It was an endless cycle. My soul would not be satisfied, even though I kept thinking, if I just had a little more, then my life would be okay. I was trying to make money my master. I was trying to get my soul satisfied with stuff that I was storing up. And it never worked. It was deformed. And you've done the same thing, haven't you? You're maybe doing the same thing. You're trying to make money your master. You're trying to make your goods your God. You're trying to satisfy your soul with stuff. This isn't how it was meant to be. This isn't how things are supposed to be. Jesus goes on after this story and he begins to tell his disciples how things are meant to be, how things originally were, how we were originally formed in this area of stewardship. So, In verse 22, Jesus starts telling his disciples to not worry. He tells them, do not worry. And then he starts giving them reasons why they should not worry. And all of those reasons have to do with who God is and what God does. In verse 24, Jesus uses birds as an example. And what he's saying with this is that God loves you and he cares for you. And the way he cares for you is that he pays attention to the smallest of details when it comes to providing for you. He is a lavish, detailed provider. He's not just trying to help you survive. He's not just trying to keep you alive. He's not giving you just enough so that you don't have the right to complain back to him. He provides for you in a detailed sort of way. Furthermore, he's revealed as a lavish giver. In verse 27, Jesus transitions from talking about birds to starting to talk about flowers, these lilies that he points to. And he says they are dressed in a splendid array. He says they are dressed better than the richest man that all these people, his original audience, would have known, King Solomon. And if they're dressed that way, how much more will you be clothed and dressed? God is a lavish, outlandish giver. This means that we were originally formed. We were originally formed to be the worry-free, joyful recipients of God's detailed provision and lavish generosity. You were originally created to be the joyful, worry-free recipient of God's detailed provision and lavish generosity. Now, worry-free doesn't mean responsibility-free. It just means worry-free. If you go back to the beginning in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, when God created the world, Adam, the very first human being who ever existed, he had responsibilities to name the animals, to take care of the garden, to take dominion of the earth. The thing is, he carried out his responsibilities in such a way that he was so acquainted with the detailed provision and the lavish generosity of his creator God that he could do that without worries. What did he have to worry about? I mean, his God was the one who created all this stuff. If he needed anything, he would just speak it into existence. God was the one who created the animals and the trees and the rivers and the oceans. He was a creator God who had a track record of detailed provision and lavish generosity. This is how we were originally formed to operate. But as we know, like Adam, we turned from this provision and generosity. We turned from this creator God, and we began to trust in our stuff. We began to get our lives all wrapped up in our possessions, and we thought our lives consisted in our stuff. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there, does it? In our greedy brokenness, God moves towards us. He doesn't wait for us to figure it out. He doesn't wait for us to fix everything. He moves towards us. By his power and his doing, he transforms us. He changes us in an instant when our faith is put in Jesus Christ. What does that transformation look like when it comes to things like money and possessions? One verse answers it for us. Look at Luke 12:32. Luke 12:32 says this, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In an instant, we are his flock, he is our Father, and he joyfully, with good pleasure, gives us his kingdom. First of all, our fundamental identity is changed into that of sheep. Fear not, little flock. All right? Sheep are needy. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are dependent. You've never seen a sheep who said, "Oh, my brilliant intellect and my hard work ethic landed me at this wonderful patch of grass." You've never seen a sheep that said, hey, everybody, look at all my possessions. Do you see how much wool I have? Now, listen, they get to that patch of grass and they do have wool, right? They just do it in a dependent way. They need someone to lead them there, the shepherd. Sheep are needy. Sheep are dependent. And sheep are free, gloriously free. They're worry-free. Our fundamental identity, when we are transformed, brought into Christ, our fundamental identity is that of sheep. Furthermore, the Creator God, who owns and sustains everything, becomes our loving, intimate Father. He doesn't just care for the birds and the flowers. He cares for, he loves, he is near to, he gives to you. God doesn't relate to you like a bank relates to you. You don't have to get all your papers in order, however 20, 30 pages of application that you have to fill out, and then all your 3 years worth of tax returns and your 3 months worth of payroll checks, and get all that stuff together just so you can prove and measure up that you deserve a little bit of money from him. God relates to you like a loving, intimate, tender father. Now, I know that is really difficult for some of us to understand. It might even be safe for me to say, God doesn't relate to you like your father. He doesn't relate to you that way. He relates to you with love. He has endless resources at his disposal. And he draws near to you with love and generosity. He loves to give. He wants to give. I love how Jesus strategically chooses and strings his words together here. Your Father's good pleasure to give. This is something that leaves a good taste in your Father's mouth. He likes it. It brings him joy. It brings him excitement. It brings him happiness. It brings him pleasure. He wants this. He desires this. He is pursuing this. He's throwing a party about this. This isn't Uncle Scrooge. This is a joyful, generous, eager, lavish, generous Father who loves to give. Not keep, not self-protect, not hoard, not hold back from you. He wants to give to you. This is who he is. This is what he loves to do. And he gives you his kingdom. Not health, not wealth, something so much better. He gives you his kingdom. Which brings us back to responsibility. We aren't transformed into needy, dependent sheep so that we can be lazy. He doesn't become our lavish, happy, joyful father so that we can get spoiled. We are transformed and brought into his kingdom so that we might grow in our kingdom responsibility. You have been given a kingdom. God's kingdom. Let me just pause here and ask the Spirit to press this into some of you. Some of you this morning, you need to hear that your joyful, happy, giving Father has given you a kingdom. God is calling some of you into greater responsibility, greater leadership at work, at home, or in school. Greater leadership in your missional community, and instead of moving toward that responsibility, you're moving away from that responsibility. And it might just be out of pure passive laziness. You're just being a loaf. But I think there's a lot of us who are just scared to move towards that responsibility. We are afraid to move towards that responsibility. We are afraid of the fact that we have been given a kingdom. But here's the good news. Do you remember the first part of this verse? Fear not, little flock. You are going to screw up in your kingdom responsibilities. You are going to fail. You're going to slip up and mess up and back up. And the reason you're going to do that is because you're a jacked up sheep who needs to get picked up by Jesus. Up. Right? Great. Enjoy the ride. Don't sit on the sidelines. Enjoy the ride. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. Let me also say this to those of you here this morning. And maybe you would say you're not a Christian. You haven't been transformed. You haven't put your faith in Jesus. I want you to know this joyful Creator Father who has endless resources at His disposal. I want you to know His exuberant pleasure. I want you to know His outlandish giving revealed to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And my guess is you might be getting bored playing around in your own little kingdom. Your kingdom is small. And I know you try to make it look big to impress people around you, or maybe mainly to try to impress yourself, but it's small. So I want to introduce you to this Creator Father who lovingly, joyfully gives His kingdom to you. Listen, your soul wasn't made to be consumed and to try to be satisfied playing around in your own little sandbox. Your soul was meant to be swallowed up in the ever-expanding, gloriously reigning kingdom of Jesus Christ. So receive this morning. Be done with your little kingdom and receive the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, all of that sounds nice. Maybe it sounds nice. Maybe it doesn't sound nice to you. Right? We have messed this thing up by thinking that our lives consist in our stuff. That's not how it's meant to be, because God is a lavish giver, a detailed provider. And instead of waiting for us to get things worked out or figured out, He moves towards us to transform us into His needy, dependent sheep. And He joyfully gives to us as a Father His kingdom. But how do you work that out? How do you grow in that? What does it look like? What does reformation look like when it comes to this area of stewardship? I think Jesus answers this for us in the final two verses. What does it look like to grow in this? Look at verse 33. Okay. Just so you know, Jesus says some crazy stuff. All right? If you're here and you're not a Christian, I'll say this bluntly. Jesus is true. Jesus is good, and Jesus is crazy. All right? You probably need to know that. He says some crazy stuff, and He requires all of your life, not just your Sunday mornings. Here's proof. How do we grow in this? Luke 12, 33. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. How do you grow in this? You sell your stuff and you give your money away. Two very simple practical things. Sell your stuff and give your money away. Wow. How many of you, when you hear that, go, maybe my life does consist in my possessions? Now, theoretically, right? Theoretically, it doesn't consist in your possessions. Surely not you. Your life is hid with Christ and God on high, Almighty King, right? But then when Jesus shows up and He lays down these two commands, He cuts right through all the mess and He lands it on you. He says, sell your possessions, give to the needy. Maybe my life does consist in my stuff. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, the way you live out this joyful recipient thing is by getting happy before you do anything. He doesn't say, hey, once you really feel this, then start giving. He doesn't say, you know what, one day you're going to know the freedom that comes from being a little sheep, and whenever you get to that place or that time, then you should start giving generously. He gives you the truth in verse 32, and then he gives you the commands in verse 33. Jesus does this a lot. It drives me crazy sometimes. He says, here's how things are, therefore go do this. Plain and simple. Why does he do that? Why, Jesus? The reason is these two commands reveal your heart and they shape your heart. They actually reform your heart. That's the crazy thing about verse 34. Look at Luke 12, 34. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Wherever your money is, that's where your heart is going to end up. It doesn't say wherever you feel strongly or desire strongly, that's where you're going to put your money. It says wherever your money is going, that's where your heart's going to be going. These commands reveal and they shape, they reform your heart. So Jesus says, sell your stuff. Because selling your stuff actually releases this death grip that we have on our possessions. It is an incredibly tangible, tactile way to say to your stuff, I don't need you. You don't define who I am. You aren't my life. And we need this tangible, tactile action to actually release that death grip. So Jesus is saying, list your junk on Craigslist and eBay and Zarly and the Omaha World Herald classified ads, if those things still exist. Sell your stuff. For some of you missional communities, seriously, the best way for you to actually grow in this isn't to have a rich, theological, robust discussion about money. The best thing you might do is just to get all your junk together and do a huge garage sale and then give that money away to the needy and celebrate the fact that you are no longer defined by that stuff. Sell your possessions. But he doesn't stop there, right? I'm telling you, Jesus is crazy. Sell your stuff and give to the needy. Give your money away. The stuff you make from selling your stuff, give it away. The money that you're making at work, give it away. The money you have saved up, give it away. The money you think you deserve, give it away. The money you know you don't deserve, give it away. Give your money away. And right about now is when people get worried. What if I give to the wrong person? What if I give to the wrong organization? Are you telling me that I need to be giving even when I'm in debt? What about retirement? What about my kids' college? Listen, those are all great questions, good questions, and we just can't get to them this morning for limited time and because there's so many questions and they're all good ones. In the first service, we actually had free books to give away and they all ran out. I'm so sorry. You should come to the 9 a.m. more often maybe. Let me give you the title of the book. It's just called Money by Jamie Munson. It's only $5 on Amazon. Super cheap, super quick, and it gets into all this practical stuff. You need to get that, and you need to start learning, okay? But this morning, I just want to close with one very simple, tangible application for all of us, okay? Here it is. Give away 10% of your gross income. That's where you start, okay? Start right there, right now, okay? Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't wait till you think you have all the theology figured out. Don't wait until you've enjoyed this wonderful identity of a sheep. Start right now giving away 10% of your income. Jesus says that we should give to the needy. We should give to the very people that we know will never pay us back. We should give to the very people where it requires trust in the sovereignty of God if this is going to work out at all. Give your money away and start with at least 10%. And if you're a covenant member of Coram Deo, you have already committed to give your first 10% to our church. So let me remind you this morning, you need to be giving your first 10% to our church. And let me press you and challenge you this morning to give to the needy. Keep giving. Now, right now, there's probably rebuttals coming up in all of your minds. You probably have 1, 2, 3 reasons why you are not the person that I'm talking to. Right? Let me just go through a few of those rebuttals and respond to them quickly as we finish out. Some of you might say, I don't know if I can give to 10%. If I start giving 10% away, I don't know if I can make ends meet. Then maybe your ends need to change. And as they do, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Others of you might say, I don't know if I can give 10%. I don't even have a budget. What's a budget? You know what? I think I have debt, and it's probably a whole lot of debt, but I have no idea how much debt it is. Can I give? I need to get my financial house in order. Yes, you do. So get to work. You need to be doing that. And as you do that, give. And fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Or you might say, I hardly make any money. And if I were to give, I mean, it'd be such a small amount. Like, what's the difference? How am I going to even help anything? It makes a huge difference in your heart. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to end up. He didn't put a dollar amount on that treasure, so it may be small dollars. But wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to end up. So you need to be giving so that your heart is drawn towards his kingdom. And as you do, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Or you might say, I really respect what you're saying, sir. But I make hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. And if I gave away only 10%, it would be a huge chunk of change. Yes, it would. It would be a huge chunk of change, which makes it all the more dangerous when you try to keep that for yourself and your heart goes where your treasure is, which is all wrapped up in yourself. So give that huge chunk of change. And as you do, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. One final group. Some of you would say, I'm just a college student, and I'm barely scraping by on these student loans. Or, I just graduated, and I have like $7.3 billion in student loans. What do I do with that? What do I do? My friends, sell your possessions. You probably have at least 2 shirts. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Listen, this is huge for you. This is huge because most likely you're borrowing someone else's dime or a lot of their dimes to pay for your education, which is meant to fuel the passion and pursuit of the American dream. And hear me, that is not going to satisfy your soul. It's not going to satisfy your soul. So you need to be giving. You need to be selling your stuff to engage in this fight so that you don't wind up 45, 50 miserable in the midst of the American dream. We've had plenty of millions of people who have already done that. We don't need you. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. And as you do, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Some of you this morning, you're just thankful, you're glad, you're already a generous giver. You've probably been giving 10% or more for many, many years. Let me just give you one quick challenge. Increase your giving by 1% each year, at least 1% each year. And pretty soon, over the course of time, you're going to find yourself giving away 20, 30, 40, 50% of your income. That's exciting. That is fun stuff. And as you do, fear not, little flock. Don't get scared. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Listen, our lives don't consist in our stuff. Praise be to God. Your soul is never going to be satisfied with this silly stuff that you keep trying to store up. It's not. Your soul is only going to be satisfied in our good and generous Creator God. And that Creator God, who has endless disposal or endless resources at his disposal, he has become your Father, your loving, intimate Father through Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and died a sinless death and rose victoriously over the grave. God has given you his kingdom. And therefore, we get to taste that same pleasure of our Father when we give. This is what it means to be reformed in our stewardship. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would come now and empower us to obey your clear and simple teaching, to sell our stuff and give our money away. I pray for hearts now that are reluctant, that you would engage them with your love and your grace. You would engage them with your lavish generosity. I pray for those hearts that you would open to them the immeasurable riches of your kindness towards them in Jesus Christ. And that they too would be transformed and they too would be reformed as givers. I pray for those this morning that are scared to receive, scared to walk in your kingdom, afraid of responsibility. I pray that your kindness and your love and your fatherliness would trump those fears, and that you would draw them into responsibility, and as they fell, you would love them well and grow them well in their responsibilities in the kingdom of God. Pray for those this morning that don't know your son Jesus yet, that they would get bored of their own little kingdom and turn to your son Jesus and receive his kingdom. All for your glory, God. Thank you for all you accomplished for us in and through Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.